Okay, well, as Christians, we often talk about having a personal relationship with God. But what does that look like? What does that mean? How do we explain that to other people, that I have a relationship with God? And that's a little bit what we're going to talk about today. I think we're going to get into the next part of our series here of Know, Act, and Become. What to know, how to act, and what we might become. And hopefully that is to be conformed into the image of Christ. But we're going to start talking about some of the things we can do, how we should act, how we can participate and actually grow into relationship with God. So we're going to be talking about what's commonly called the spiritual disciplines. If you have a bulletin on the back of the notes there's some of the things that we will be talking about over the next several weeks, which are commonly called spiritual disciplines. Things like prayer, worship, Bible study, meditation, fasting, commitment, solitude, service, generosity, surrender, evangelism, rest, and confession. So as we build these things into our life, it helps us to grow into relationship with God, that we might actually know Him, that we might feel His presence, that we might hear His voice in our spirits, that we can say, I know God. I have a relationship with God. As with any relationship, a healthy relationship needs to be two-sided. God has certainly done His part. He has reached into our lives. He has sent us His Son. He has given us of His Holy Spirit. We need to respond. He's now giving us the opportunity to respond. It is important that we look at these disciplines not just to get better at them, to be a better worshiper or a better prayer or a better servant. It is my hope that as we look into these disciplines, it will build our relationship with God, that we might be more conformed to His image. I think we need to look at these kind of like our vehicle, our car, that is a tool to take us to our destination. So as we participate in these things, it's not just so that we gain more knowledge or that we become looking more holy or whatever. It's so that we can actually enter into relationship with God. They're not about appearing holy. They are about making us whole. And they're not about just gaining favor with God, but they are actually about us entering into God's presence, getting to know Him better. It is important that we know some of the facts of the faith, which is what we've been going over the last couple weeks. We've talked about especially important, I think, to know the character and the attributes of God, to know what God has done on our behalf, that He has provided salvation for us. And so these are kind of like a foundation. And now we're going to begin building on that. For instance, next week we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of prayer. And I think it's very helpful for us to know something about the character, about the attributes of God, so that we know who we're talking about. So they all kind of build upon each other. One book that I read years ago that was very helpful to me in learning about the spiritual disciplines was one called Celebration of Discipline, The Pathway to Spiritual Growth by Richard Foster. I would encourage you, I'd recommend that book to all of you. In that book, chapter one of that book is called The Door to Liberation. And that is what he is calling the spiritual disciplines, that as we participate in these different aspects of the Christian life, it will bring us liberation. It liberates us. It brings us into freedom. I'd like to read a couple of verses here to start with that talk about freedom. The first one is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That slavery is when we fall into our own devices, when we fall into sin, when we fall into the ways of the world. Christ wants us to rise above that and to rise into relationship with Him. What's that? Amen. That we should be placing ourselves under His care. Okay, and then John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. By coming to Christ, by submitting to Christ, by emptying ourselves of ourselves and filling ourselves with Him, we find freedom. And then 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled faces, and that is a fancy way of saying those who have come into relationship with Jesus, who have, like when the temple was split, when the curtain was split in the temple and we had access to Christ, those who come into relationship with Christ have had that veil removed, and we contemplate the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The spiritual disciplines are what lead us into being transformed into His image. And we would all probably say that we want freedom, that we want love, that we want peace. And God is saying to us, well, here is the path. But we have to choose it. Which brings us back to some of the verses that we read earlier. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? But we have to be thirsty for Him. We have to want that. I imagine that all of you have come to situations in your life where you have been thirsty and you just wanted to have a glass of water. The time in my life when I think I was the most thirsty was when I was up in a haymow. It was, I don't know how hot it was, but it was hot, it was dusty, it was absolutely miserable, and I'm stacking hay bales and I have hay fever. And it was miserable. We finally got done with that load, and I went down to the milk house where the water was always just ice cold, and I put my head under the sink and was drinking right out of the faucet, and it was so good. It was so good. That's what we need in our lives. Do we want our lives to go better? Do we want our lives to be fulfilled? Do we want abundant life that God's promised? We need to thirst for that as that deer who you've been chasing through the woods is panting for streams of water. But we so often don't choose it. The biblical path to freedom includes discipline, self-control, and submission. Things that we often associate with work, with restrictions, and even with slavery. And so we kind of put that aside and we decide that we're going to cast off restraints. We're going to throw cares to the wind and pursue our own path, our own brand of freedom. And so often when we do that, where do we end up? We end up in slavery. We end up being captive to our own choices, to the things that are leading us away from God. In the book of Jeremiah, we read these verses. This is Jerusalem at this time is under siege. They are being, enemy nation has come in, Babylonians have come in, and they are going to take Jerusalem, Israel captive. But this is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And he's referring back there to the things that they already know, the things that they know they should be doing but aren't. So look for those ways, walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. They wanted to choose their own path, and it actually led, in their case, to literal slavery. So what God is offering to us is transformation. The problem with many of us is not just external behavior, but internal bondage. We can all put on good fronts, especially when we're in a crowd, but there might be some great turmoil going on when in our own hearts. Unless we experience the freedom of being set free in Christ, we are not truly free. And the spiritual disciplines are like a wellspring of life, of refreshing water coming our way, so that we can experience new life, that we can experience transformation. I've got a picture here of some water flowing into a lake. Not necessarily that clean, refreshing water. This reminds me, this picture is very, very close to where I grew up along the Fox River in Appleton. And back in the 70s, well, back in the 60s and 70s, that river was horribly, horribly polluted. It just stunk. But that's where we would go fishing. And we used to go down to this one area, and there were these literal pipes that stuck out of the paper mills and out of this one dairy plant that would dump right into the river. And we'd go fishing next to this this dairy plant. We always called it the condensery. And we'd be fishing next to these pipes. And when you started to hear these pipes gurgle, you knew it's time to move. As pretty soon, this stuff would actually be gushing out right into the river. Now, that river is much cleaner today. But they didn't clean up that river by just taking all the water out of it. They cleaned up that river by dealing with the source. So what is the source of life in your life? Is it something like this, or is it the clean, refreshing water that comes our way by participating in the spiritual disciplines? And again, there's a list of them there in your bulletin. So it is important to remember, however, that these spiritual disciplines are not just a self-improvement program. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. It is a relationship with God. And by practicing these things, we're building our relationship with Him. They are the Spirit's tools to change us from the inside out. They facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you've ever said, I want to feel the Holy Spirit, I want to hear the Holy Spirit, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, this is how it happens, by participating in these disciplines. The disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that He can transform us. And by practicing the disciplines that God has given us, we position ourselves to receive it. It's like a boat out on the lake, a sailboat. Once they lift the sail, the wind is able to fill that sail. And once we begin to place ourselves before the Lord in Bible study, in prayer, He fills that sail. And we experience God's transforming power in our lives. In Psalm 42, there was a portion that said, deep calls unto deep. And God is calling us to a depth that is not normally experienced in the shallowness of this world. says, deep calls to deep. Superficiality is a curse of our present age. We want everything, we want it now. Just as long as it appears good, we think it is good. We live in a world of instant gratification and spiritual shortcuts. On the highway between Escanaba and Ford River, there's a line of cottages there along the Lake Michigan, and many of them have signs up, and they've given their homes or their cottage a name. See if you can find this the next time that you drive to south of Escanaba. There's one that says, linger longer. Anybody seen that? Okay, but I really like that. I like that that image just of take some time to linger, okay? In our world today, we are oftentimes just so busy that we think, well, you know I should be reading my Bible. I know I should be praying. I know I should be doing this. I know I should be serving. I know I should be doing that. But we just say, Lord, you know, I'm just so busy. I don't have time today to linger, maybe tomorrow. And you know what they say about tomorrow? It never comes. The disciplines are God's invitation to us to slow down, to dig deep, to grow roots. God is saying to you, pull up a chair and sit down. But we say, God, I don't have time today. I'd love to do that, but I'm just so busy. There's a song that I think kind of encapsulizes this called Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapman. I'm going to read it. And it talks, I think, about missed opportunities in life. My child arrived just the other day. He came into the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. I know I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know, I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd really like to see you, if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me that my son was just like me. My boy was just like me. So, we don't want to miss the opportunities that we have to experience God. He is there if we take the time to meet with Him. Perhaps we should call, instead of calling them spiritual disciplines, we should call them spiritual opportunities. Disciplines may seem legalistic, but in fact, what they are meant to be is liberating, not confining. They are means of God's grace to us. They are gifts to us that we can enhance our relationship with Him. Two men named James Smith and Robert Lee wrote a series of books about the spiritual disciplines, about helping Christian workers and Bible students. And they said this about the calling of God, of deep calls unto deep, helping us to understand that concept a little bit better. He says, the deep of man's need calleth unto the deep of God's fullness, and the deep of God's fullness calleth calleth unto the deep of man's need. Between our emptiness and his all-sufficiency, there is a great gulf. Deep calleth unto deep. The deep mercy of God needs our emptiness into which it might pour itself. Nothing can fully meet the depth of our need but the depth of his almighty fullness. We hit upon the meaning of deep calls unto deep when we recognize that human needs are great, but the riches of God are greater. Our wisdom is shallow, but his knowledge and judgments are unsearchable. God's thoughts are deep. His love is as deep as his immense heart, as he proved when he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. The height, breadth, and depth of God's resources are without measure. From the depth of his despair, the psalmist found help in the depth of God's goodness. And he says this in Psalm 42, verse 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. As we participate in the spiritual disciplines, as we build them into our lives, as we make them a habit, we can say this, as the psalmist said at this time, that we can put our hope in God, that we can praise him, that we can claim him as our Savior and our God. Now, when I think about these spiritual disciplines and I look at my own life, I oftentimes think I'm not measuring up, and I feel this twinge of guilt in my life that I'm not doing all that I could do or all that I should do. You know, I think, oh, I'm not praying enough, I'm not serving enough, I'm not studying enough. But these spiritual disciplines, in God giving them to us, that is not his aim at all. He is not giving us these things to make us feel bad about ourselves. He's giving them as a means in our lives to produce joy, hope, peace, and not guilt. If we look upon these things and think, oh, it's tearing me down, it's making me feel bad, I'm not doing enough, we're looking at them wrong. Whatever steps we take toward God, God will honor, and he will encourage us to take another. So as we visit the disciplines or the opportunities in the next several weeks, I invite each of you to begin practicing them as a way to draw nearer to the Lord, to experience the abundant life that he has for all of us. We must not be led to believe that the disciplines are only for those who are spiritual giants or something like that. They are for all of us. All we need to do is be willing to begin to put them into practice. Our goal, though, is not to perform, but to be present with God, to experience God. It is not just a tweak of our lives, but it is something that will totally reorient our life, that will transform us. I'd like to read Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your old heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That is what happens to us at the moment of salvation. When we come to Jesus, he gives us a new heart. But now he wants us to develop that heart and to make it strong and to live with that, and to have his Holy Spirit live through us. We don't want to just continue sitting on the shelf or standing there at the starting line. We need to run the race. God promises that he will work in our lives. Transformation is a divine work. It is not the result of human striving. Willpower will never succeed in dealing with the deeply ingrained habits of sin. But God can do that. Our transformation should not be something that is optional. It is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. It is the essence of discipleship. Jesus didn't come just to make us nicer. He came to make us new. In closing, I'd like to read Philippians 1:6. It says this, and this is Paul writing to his disciples, to people who have placed their faith in Jesus. Paul says, "I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God has begun a work in your heart, and he will bring it to completion. And the more that we cooperate with him through practicing these spiritual disciplines, the faster it'll happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for new life in Christ. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for the promise of being with you someday in heaven. And as we continue, Lord, now to walk on this earth, I pray that you would help each one of us to draw into deeper and deeper relationship with you through the tools that you have given us, Lord, through the ability to pray, through the reading of your word, through fellowship, through acts of service, and all of these other things, Lord, that help us experience you and to grow closer to our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for those gifts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.